Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, hello, it's Kathy Love here. How are you? I don't know about you, but boy, it sure is nice to have a little bit of spring in the air and certainly a little bit more daylight and a little bit more sunshine. And I know we need the rain, so we will be grateful for when the rain happens as well. But spring, boy, oh boy. Certainly the crew at NACA Consulting are uber busy at the moment as we are getting ready for our private practice virtual conference, October 25th, save the date. And I guess what I'm keen to sort of talk about today relates a little bit to the conference, but not only. And it's this topic of how and when and where and why you shift from being a clinician to more of a business owner. And in particular, you shift from being a clinician to what I like to describe as team facing. So that means that you have probably released most of your clinical obligations, and instead you have opportunity, commitment, to develop your team and to be meeting with them and coaching them and training and teaching and developing them. So, you know, I get asked this question quite a lot with my business coaching clients, and it comes up through Messenger and all of those other places that everyone can get hold of me through the power calls and the like. And it was how did you know, and when did you start, and how long did it take, and how did you make it work? And whilst my story is kind of interesting really only to me, what I do know is that it took me way too long to release the clinical work and to become team facing. And I think the thing about becoming team facing is that you also become business facing as well. And it's that transition from having two, if not three or four full-time jobs. You have a full-time job as a clinician and you have a full-time job as a business owner, and you probably have a full-time job at home with family and friends as well. So it's a little bit scary, and it is about releasing roles, and it's about releasing perhaps some of the thoughts for which you went to university in the first place. So it is a lot of release, and it is a lot of transition, and it's a lot of thinking. And I think that's why it's nearly always good to do it quite gradually and in quite a strategic, planned kind of way. So I guess there's a few moving parts to it, and I'm just going to work through some of my random thinking on this just to kind of be helpful and friendly and to be able to support you guys in your potential shift from a clinician to a business owner and a team leader. I think it really, really helps to sort of have a good working knowledge of all of the employment awards and to have really good position descriptions and some measurable KPIs and some performance development pathways, career pathways in place. The reason being that you may well be wanting to sort of establish a bit of a leadership team as well as part of you shifting into owner leader. You may be wanting to bring others up and along on that adventure with you. And this could be one of the core pieces of work, that you understand the way everybody's engaged, that you really understand the roles and responsibilities across the business. Doesn't matter how big or small it is, so that you have swim lanes, as I like to call them, that you actually know how your role is going to be changing against everybody else's in the business. Natasha Hawker is coming to speak to us at the Private Practice Virtual Conference about the award, about the awards, and about your obligations as a business owner as well. So if this is something you're curious about, and if this is part of your business trajectory, certainly join us, because Tash has got amazing working knowledge of the awards and the HR obligations as well. So, sounds weird that that is a moving part, but it is very much part of the understanding of who does what and under what circumstances right across the business. It just makes your shift from clinician to team leader, business owner a little smoother as well. It might also be part of the work that you do in that transition from releasing clients to taking on more teammate obligations as well. So I mentioned there a little bit about KPIs and knowing what the core roles and the core deliverables and the core measurements in your business are as well. And if this isn't something that you're doing yet, I'm sure you will be working towards this, and it may well be one of your core roles as you gradually release clients and pick up this knowledge of how is everyone operating, how is everyone performing in the business, not just clinicians, but your customer service staff, your receptionists, practice manager, whoever you have and whoever you're aspiring to have join the team as well. So it sort of springs off the back of the award and roles and responsibilities. What sort of handle do you have on who's doing what and to what level and with what level of compliance? Really cool piece of work. And guess what? As your role is changing from clinician to business owner, team leader, your KPIs will change as well, and your position description will change as well. So if you're reviewing yours, you might even be developing yours for the first time, always good to run it right across everybody else's in the organization so you see where the edges are. Tash is going to be sharing some of that, and I'm presenting on almost exactly that topic at the conference as well, in terms of what position descriptions are, what KPIs are, how they work, how to get in and sort of enjoy them and really use them for a whole team-wide performance development piece of work as well. There's also a piece, and it fits kind of nicely from what I was just talking about in terms of who your advisors are as well. So certainly when I was releasing clinical work and stepping towards business management team leadership, I was able to see from spreadsheets from MYOB, which we used back in the day, what the impact would be as my billable clinical work was going to be reducing. We could see what impact that would have on the whole business. So the only reason that I knew what that was going to look like month by month, quarter by quarter, was by having a really fabulous bookkeeper, really great accountant, and I had business advisors at the time as well. So we all got our heads together and we were able to see month by month, quarter by quarter, what it was all going to mean to revenue and ultimately profitability as well. But we were also able to kind of talk through the opportunities that would arise by me having less time with our gorgeous little clients as well. So whilst it had a financial impact on one side, the other side of the coin was opportunity for networking, for referrals, for developing other products, to bringing in more team, so on and so forth. So we were able to kind of get that out of our heads in a really shared and collective way and have a bit of a strategy around it. And that was only possible because I had an advisory team, both in-house but also an external business mentor as well. at the time, I just wouldn't have been able to think all of those thoughts through on my own. And I may have kind of just stayed in that clinician with a business second job for way too long, and we wouldn't have got the impact and the changes and the growth that we then went on to have when I became much more involved in the business and the team as well. So a retrospective thank you to my advisory team. I have an ongoing advisory team in my new business, and I'm a huge fan, as you know, that you don't know what you don't know, and that you can't see what you can't see, and that you need others to light up those corners and keep the business loneliness at bay as well. So that was very important in terms of the strategy we could nut out. And certainly in the private practice virtual conference, I'm talking about that that notion of doing business easier when you've got an advisory team, whether it's an in-house team, an external team. Most of the businesses that I'm in touch with certainly have both and know how to bring all of those great ideas together around the table as well. The other sort of factor that kind of sometimes takes allied health business owners a little by surprise is the notion of leadership. And Jan Turkelson and Michelle Turkelson are presenting at the Private Practice Conference about leadership and about gaining your leadership confidence and about evolving and generating a really genuine approach to leadership in your business as well. So you've got to sort of almost redefine yourself in the business, and your team will know you as a clinician and maybe a slightly frazzled, slightly exhausted, overwhelmed business owner. But as they see you releasing clients, they will be seeing you in a new light, and potentially their expectations will be changing as well. As your role evolves, that is going to have a trickle-on effect right throughout the business. And so this notion of leadership becomes incredibly important. The other part of leadership is also that it is such an important point, such an important part in recruitment, that you are perceived as a leader and calm and confident, and that you have a really great handle on the business, you're very future focused, you have a plan in place, you know how to get there, you really know how to lead and bring everyone in the team forward to making a positive impact with your beautiful customers, but also serving themselves and serving the business in all the best possible ways as well. And lucky us, Michelle Bahari is joining us at the Private Practice Conference to talk about how to cultivate an optimistic culture. We all have kind of maybe worked in those workplaces that were a little, perhaps by current definition, a little toxic, or certainly quite complex in their social and cultural makeup. And that is not the business that new recruits are looking to join. Your reputation is so important out there in the allied health marketplace. So for you to be thinking, as your role emerges as a business owner and leader, what will your leadership style be? How will you be taking this opportunity to cultivate an even more optimistic culture and a culture that is really renowned, certainly across your neighbourhood, certainly across the world of clients and referrers that you serve as well. So yeah, an interesting one, and perhaps not a really direct line to your role as, as your transition, if you like, from becoming a clinician through to a business owner, but very much part of it. And I think what we're realizing increasingly is that being a business owner has many faces. It is quite the marathon, and it is quite the whole range of sports all thrown into one. So your role as a leader, your role in determining the tone of your organization's culture, absolutely going to spin into recruitment, is actually going to spin in the way that you define your forward role as you come off the tools, as they say as well. And I guess there needs to be a note in here about Who are the souls in your business? And where does that scope sort of begin and end? Are you going to have therapists of all sorts of disciplines, or are you going to stay a solo discipline sort of practice? Are you thinking of bringing in allied health assistants? Do you have admin, reception, finance managers, or do you have all of them supervised by practice managers? These are some of the questions that I'm providing suggestion on day in, day out as businesses are really positioned for that beautiful next phase of growth. So Megan Ingram and I are presenting on some considerations for bringing in allied health assistants. This is going to be such an interesting and emerging profession to watch in the next few years, particularly for those that are serving participants with NDIS funding. So we're sharing up with what we know on that front as well. Leticia's going, who is my VA, who is going to be sharing on how virtual assistants can make such a difference to getting things done so that you don't have to do it all yourself. So looking forward to that piece as well. And I'll be presenting on practice managers. They are your sanity saver. And so often when I'm in conversation with business owners who we just get in and we drill down and drill down and drill down, and so often the solution is sitting with the strength and the creativity and the tenacity of a really, really rock star practice manager as well. So I'm going to be sharing what that looks like in my presentation at the conference as well. Goodness. So we're digressing a little bit. I'm just going to bring it back to this notion of releasing clients and your mindset around that. Some of the factors that are going to be impacting on the transition from a clinician to essentially a business CEO. As I've just been kind of sharing up my thoughts, it's about knowing the awards, it's about knowing your obligations, having great position descriptions, great KPIs in place, and developing them for you in your new and emerging role, and understanding the edges of the new roles that you will be working on and how they map and how they integrate, I guess, along with everybody else's in the business as well. In terms of the transition, we've talked about the value of having an advisory team and the experience I had of having a very strategic, very numbers-based approach so that we could sort of see as my income changed, the impact on revenue and profitability in the business, but we flipped that with opportunities as well. We also talked a bit about how you need to reinvent yourself in the business sometimes as you leave that love of clinical skills just a little in the wings as you step forward to being a business manager, a team leader, and actually even considering who's going to be in your team as you finally get a little bit of extra time to think about being the boss, if you like. You may find that some of your creativity returns. You may find that some of your initial dreams are bubbling back up to the surface as you get just a little bit of mental and business freedom to think through some of those ideas that have been sitting on the back burner. I'm doing little air quotes. I hear about things sitting on the back burner quite a bit as well. So there's also the opportunity to really dig into and dial up your leadership skills, and that's going to have a remarkable impact on your organizational culture, which circles all the way back around to recruitment and team building and the business, being able to really activate the plan for that business that you really, really want, that business that really serves you. So that is my round and about thinking on how to perhaps get started, but also how to also think about the value of becoming increasingly team facing. Okay, so I've also mentioned some of our amazing speakers that are coming into the Private Practice Virtual Conference. Michelle Bahari's talking about Organizational Culture, Jan and Michelle Turkelson are talking about generating your own genuine leadership approach. Ingrid Cole is coming in to talk about using a coach approach to generate autonomy. Didn't even forget that. That's kind of super critical as well as you become CEO of the business. I'm talking about some of the operational things around position descriptions, KPIs, recruitment, retention. We've got a whole lot of really good stuff covered in this presentation, in this day. October 25th is when we go live and large and lovely. But as you wonderful listeners know, you get access to the whole program for 30 days. So you have got, actually it's even more than 30 with this particular event. So you get access to really dance in and out and soak it all up. Alrighty, somewhere near this podcast episode is going to be a link so that you can click on through and have a look at the whole program, and you will be able to see quite a few of the pieces that I've just talked about now, but there's going to be some other really cool surprises in the program as well that I've left for you to explore on your own. Really looking forward to meeting you live on October the 25th, and that is over and out for me right now. A really big thank you for investing your energy right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Made Perfect. I really hope it was helpful and interesting and just what you needed to progress all things awesome in your allied health business. Now, we are all about helping and sharing and caring and making business easier for you guys. Please take a dance over to nacre.com.au. nacre.com.au. Over there, you will see all sorts of things that we're up to, but our biggest excitement right now is the Private Practice Virtual Conference. So save the date, October the 25th, but better still, click a link very near here, click the top banner of the homepage of the website, and get your tickets booked right now. So yes, it's virtual. You can attend from anywhere in the world. It is live and fun and spectacular on October the 25th, but you get 30 days afterwards to jump back in, re-listen, rethink, rework all of the complete program, all of the speakers, all of the presentations, so on and so forth. So over the years, we have had hundreds of allied health business owners from all over the world participate in the virtual conference. And this year, October 25th, we don't want you to miss out. So make sure that you get in and get registered. It's a super cool investment, super, super cool value. And the feedback we get about this program is absolutely remarkable. So it is our pleasure. It's one of our favorite things to do. And we can't wait to e-meet you there at the Private Practice Virtual Conference. And our theme is Excite Your Team for Business Success. So we're answering all of those questions we get about team and helping you get all of that good stuff done. Right, that's enough from me. Look forward to meeting you later.